Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. It is a good day to be a tight end. Also a good day to be a left-hander. National Left-Handers Day. I have a son who is wrong-handed, left-handed. I do many things in life better with my left than my right, even though I write and shoot poorly with my right hand. But happy National Left-Handers Day. There's a lot of guys that are left-handed that would surprise you. Russell Westbrook, for example, is actually left-handed. And there are people that play their sport left-handed, even though they are not, in fact, left-handed, which is very, very confusing. Ben Simmons is right-handed, shoots the basketball left-handed, only when he's shooting perimeter shots. Again, super, super confusing. But let's dig in here on the story of the day, which is also the topic du jour. So George Kittle is going to make $15 million a year, right? Did I read that right? Right, $40 million guaranteed with injury, $30 million guaranteed at signing. That's the first 2 years basically up front. The $40 million guaranteed is more than twice that of any other tight end. And the $30 million guaranteed at signing includes $18 million in signing bonus, also record amount, 12 more than Austin Hooper. Right, so then Travis Kelce's deal is going to get done as well. But then you compare it to that of Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, Michael Thomas, and you're like, okay, wide receivers, more money, but why Brandon Cooks at $16 million? You know? Cooks is really more of the outlier because the rest, you know, from Stephon Diggs to Devontae Adams to Jarvis Landry to Adam Thielen, those guys command a double team. And if you can influence more than one football player on the field, you have more value. And while you could say, hey, for a pass-catching tight end, Kittle's a very good blocker. He is. He's not Gronk. Gronk's essentially was an additional offensive lineman in addition to being a great pass-catching tight end, the ultimate hybrid guy. But it's not like wide receivers are not allowed to block, and the very best do, in fact, block when called upon. But we're at this weird time where it feels like the transition is upon us. Running backs are becoming devalued. Tight ends are becoming more valued. Wide receivers, obviously, a bunch more value. But the tight ends are catching up on wide receivers and surpassing that of running backs for the most part. Unless you like Christian McCaffrey, who, you know, can influence multiple people, can catch the ball 100 times out of the backfield, as well as run it for over 1,000 yards. If you can do two things, well, now all of a sudden you become super valuable. So the problem was, by my estimation, we'd had false prophets in the past. Jimmy Graham, for example, is a false prophet. Jimmy Graham was the guy who, when he was in New Orleans, he wanted to be paid like a wide receiver. The problem with Jimmy Graham was he blocked less than wide receivers. And New Orleans played that game and played it very, very smartly. They knew that Jimmy Graham had a ceiling and he bumped up against it. He's also one of those guys in the middle that, as a former basketball player, wasn't as hard to replace as the two or three or four elite level tight ends. Those guys are hard to replace. So now Hunter Henry's up, but we already have Travis Kelce. We already have George Kittle. Gronk, obviously, on a one-year deal. Kyle Rudolph at the end of his deal, although I think he's had his deal reworked. And Ertz and Hunter Henry likely to get new contracts. And what you know, teams, what they say doesn't matter. What they do does. And these are teams saying what we've all believed, which is the right guy, the right tight end, is valuable in the run game, in the pass game. And he's you know, too big, too strong for any defensive back, and just too athletic for any linebacker to cover. That's what Kelce is. That's what Kittle is. And that's why they deserve to be paid. But let's also remember that this is just like quarterbacks, right? Like, there is a massive drop-off. You know, like, I like Jack Doyle, but he's been hurt a bunch. Cameron Brake. You know, Greg Olsen, for example, if he's the 10th best tight end who's had a borderline Hall of Fame career, but he's in his mid-30s. Eric Ebron, Blake Jarwin, Tyler Eifert. Tyler Eifert's been hurt just a bunch. Jason Witten's well over the hill. Jacob Hollister's a good player. Darren Fells, Noah Fant's a young, I think, rising star. But there's a lot of quarterback to tight ends in that there are tiers. Kittle, Kelce. I think you put Hunter Henry in there if he stays healthy, but he is not. And you probably still put Gronk, even though you haven't seen him play in a year. And then I like Zach Ertz. And then the next group, you put the Kyle Rudolphs and Jared Cooks and Darren Wallers and Tyler Higbees and Greg Olsons of this world. And then you start working your way down to Jimmy Graham. Maybe put Jared Cook in the second group. But I think there are tiers. I think the league is smart. I don't think they're all as or more valuable than wide receivers, but I do think the best are, in fact, because they're that much of a matchup nightmare. And here's the other thing, and this is really important. While the top end may not be as high as that of Michael Thomas, if I was building a team, especially for a young quarterback, wouldn't you, to me, you'd go after the tight end before you'd go, the elite level tight end, before you go after the elite level wide receiver. Now, I'll grant you, the elite level wide receiver takes two people off the football field, off the grid, and makes reading a defense much easier. Hey, if there's not a safety over the top, we're going to Julio Jones. I do understand that. But those guys are so hard to find. There's been so many miss with wide receivers in the NFL draft that if it was me, I would go tight end first, wide receiver second. Obviously, offensive line, defensive front. And then I'm looking tight end more than I'm thinking go get a big name wide receiver out of college, because as we pointed out right around the draft, only three of the last 19 first round pick wide receivers have actually made it. You get all these guys. There's so much value to tight ends because you don't have to get them in the first round. You know? So your initial contract isn't that great, and your secondary contract, as big as this one is, these are the biggest of their kind, you're still saving money. I'm trying to think what tight ends are if there's a car analogy, right? Where suddenly they're becoming more and more valuable and understood. They've been around for a long time, and now you like them even more. And, oh yeah, by the way, they cost you a little bit less. They last you a good long time. They help you in the run game, and they cost you less off the top if you draft them, because they're not going to be first-round draft picks. All right. Today is not knowing National Left-Handers Day. It appears to be National Tight Ends Day. People are already making excuses for this NBA superstar before the playoffs have even started. Tell you who that is next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a good Thursday. NBA playoffs kind of upon us. Kings are smacking the Lakers. And Lakers are playing some no-name dudes. You're like, wait, that guy's on the Lakers? I don't even know who that is, right? But still, you're down 13 to the Kings, even with some of your backups, and you start to kind of question life a little bit, right? We'll get to the Lakers in 1 second. Did you guys see Russell Westbrook is likely to miss at least part of the Houston Rockets' first-round series with the Oklahoma City Thunder, his former team? I used to say I don't believe in curses, except for Cleveland. They're clearly cursed. I might think that there's something with Houston. Like, they were legit good, and Chris Paul got hurt. And then they missed, what, 27 straight threes? Like, that's like act of God. I'm not sure you could replicate that group missing 27 straight threes if you tried. You could kick them in. If you gave one of those guys a chance, say, all right, I want you to kick one in. Like, James Harden could kick one of 27 in. Don't you think? And now they get a shot at Oklahoma City, Westbrook's former team, and then potentially a banged-up Lakers team that cannot shoot. And Russell Westbrook gets hurt. Yikes. All right, this was former NBA executive John Hollinger on our show, the Doug Gottlieb Show, talking about the Lakers matchup with the Blazers.
When you say give them a series, like, yeah, they'd give them a series. I don't think they can win. You know, can they take them to six games? Sure. You know, the LA's kind of been slow to get into their groove here. I think some of that's intentional. I mean, we've seen LeBron James do this before.
Yeah, we've seen LeBron James do this before. The one thing about LeBron is, man, he doesn't look great. He's just not moving great. You know? Like, look, end of the day, we can set up and say the Lakers are the worst shooting team in the bubble. The Lakers don't have Avery Bradley. The Lakers will probably have Rondo by then, but Rondo's a shell of his former self, and it's not like Rajon Rondo's a total game changer for the team. There's good. There's some not so good as well. But, at the end of the day, they do have the best record in the West, and this would be a massive upset if the Portland Trail Blazers, who are still a couple games below 500, were to beat them in a neutral site. Right? This basically comes down to, are they going to let Damian Lillard beat them? That's what it comes down to. Are you going to let Damian Lillard beat you? Is Damian Lillard better than LeBron and Anthony Davis combined? CJ McCollum is an absolute warrior, right? Like, this dude's playing with fractures in his back. You have a slimmed up, over the hill, we didn't want him in LA, Melo. I like Nurkic. He shouldn't be as good as Anthony Davis, right? Zach Collins is a kid, super talented, just a kid. You know, it's a great story. Is it a great team? No. And they're going to have to play at least one more game against the 9 seed in order to actually get into the playoffs. All of that, don't give me this. Lakers are in trouble. The Lakers are in trouble. They're in trouble because LeBron didn't have it anymore. That's about as simple as it gets. If the Lakers lose that series, it does fall on LeBron. Now, I'm not saying he has to win an NBA title because this team may be so flawed and you're going against a really deep, less flawed Clippers team potentially. Okay. And it's not his fault that Avery Bradley chose to opt out. I would put some of the personnel stuff on LeBron because, you know, he let some of the offseason, like, look, you show up at Darren Collison's house when he's retired or talking about retirement. If you're LeBron James, you're like, I live in Brentwood. Where does he live? All right, cool. Let's go. Send me the address. You put it in your phone. You show up. Who is it? LeBron. Hey, man, what are you doing for the next 6 months? Want to play some basketball? Right? Make him say no to you, LeBron. It's not tampering if you're not on any team. If you're retired. So, It's not, I mean, I'm not going to put all of that on him and the Avery Bradley thing. You know, I don't know what the conversations, if there were conversations between LeBron and Avery Bradley, but God, it looks silly. Doesn't it? Well, I don't want to go with safety. There's been no positive tests. Everybody that followed the protocol is good. And now they got their families, friends, and some form of loved ones showing up on campus in Disney. Oops. And if it was about the movement, where you been? What have you been doing? So I think the Avery Bradley thing's a massive miss, not just for Avery Bradley, but also for the rest of the LA Lakers. All that said, The lack of depth at the position, the inability to get Darren Collison or keep Avery Bradley, like some of that does fall on the shoulders of LeBron. And even without all of those dudes, they still should be good enough. And it'll say a lot about Anthony Davis, right? We gave him a pass in New Orleans. We're like, he's the only guy. Super young, only guy. Now he's not young, not the only guy, not even the go-to guy. He's the second guy. And if for somehow they were upset by the Portland Trailblazers or somebody in the first round, some of that blame should go on Anthony Davis. I don't like the laying the groundwork for the upset and the excuses. Well, you know, they didn't have Rondo. Rondo can't shoot. He didn't help him. Not a good defender anymore. Well, you know, it's not LeBron's fault they can't shoot threes. Some of it is. He's allowed to shoot and make three-pointers. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's such a good passer. Maybe he's passing out rhythm. And third thing is, like, recruit better players. You recruit them all to the shop, to your TV show. You can't get them to sign with the Lakers or get traded for the Lakers. Like, you can't make these things happen. Some of it does fall on LeBron's shoulder.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's get to Brandon Whedon, who's a former Oklahoma State Cowboy, as is Kima Siverin. Did you hear this story? So Kima tries to sneak a chick in, and he has her dress in Seahawks gear as if she's a player. Now, I guess there actually is a – can I give you the positive spin on it?
Yeah, feed it to him.
That's all right, the positive spin on it is at least she's good enough looking where people didn't think she was a player, right?
Fair.
There you go, right? Like if people were like, oh yeah, she looked like a fullback. Like that would be bad. she has a strange resemblance to Sam Gash, right? That would not be good. But that's an all-timer sneaking a girl in under quarantine and dressing her up as a dude.
That's a first, obviously. As you guys were calling, I was just kind of scrolling through Instagram for the first time today, and I had just seen it in the shot that I think it was the NFL that had it on the on their whatever Instagram page, showed him in an Oklahoma State uniform, and all I could do was just shake my head. I'm like, oh boy, you know. But you knew it was going to happen eventually. You know, it just some things never seemed to amaze me.
No, never. No, that's not surprising. But the getting dressed up as a dude is the surprising one. That's a great one. Why is it taking so long to tight end to be compensated the way that George Kittle and Travis Kelce have been compensated?
Great question. I've been asking that for years. Usually over the last, I don't know, my last 4 or 5 years playing, I was always close with tight ends, and we had that conversation all the time. I mean, you look at some of the numbers, I mean, that some of these tight ends have put up for several years, and, you know, and they've always kind of been treated a little bit like a running back, per se. They don't see the value, which I think is completely wrong. But, these guys, you know, Travis Kelce and obviously George Kittle are getting taken care of. I mean, those are two of the best in the league. You know, but George Kittle, I mean, he can block in the line of scrimmage as good as any tight end in the league. I mean, he can kind of turn in that third tackle in some situations, which is kind of rare. You know, a lot of them are being compared to receivers and are kind of putting up wide receiver numbers. And I'm sure some of their agents are going to these teams and want them to be compensated accordingly. So, man, I don't know. Like I said, I've always said tight end's one of it probably is, other than quarterback, probably the toughest position to play on offense. Center's probably right there, 2 and 3. But, you know, it's tough to play tight end in the NFL. You got to handle those monsters on the inline of scrimmage in the run game. And you got to go up against safeties and fast linebackers, dime-type linebackers in the passing game. So it's their matchups are tough. You know, every single play, those guys are butting heads. And, my opinion, it's been a long time coming. I think these two guys deserve it. And hopefully, you know, the next batch of tight ends coming up will kind of fall in line.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Brandon Whedon, who's joining us. George Kittle gets paid. Travis Kelce gets paid. There is a difference, though. Kelce is a freak athlete, but not close to the blocker of Kittle, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, you know, what he does in the passing game is pretty unique. I mean, he's, for as big of a guy he is and his ability to run routes and catch the ball in space, I mean, he's really he's a unique talent. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't block in the line of scrimmage like Kittle does. I mean, Kittle's got some junk in his neck. I mean, he's just a tough dude. you know, I think he kind of relishes that. I mean, he loves being kind of the guy that's going to bury guys in the run game. You know, that's not really Kelce's game, but he does well enough job on line of scrimmage. He blocks plenty well, but I don't know what his you know what he was getting money wise per year, but I'd have to imagine it was 12 plus. But he's a hell of a player.
Yeah, he is. He's an outstanding player. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We were sitting around talking, and you know, look, I understand that every year half the teams that made the playoffs the year before don't make it the next year. I understand that, okay? But because of the pandemic and the limitations on what you can do and what you've been able to do, doesn't it feel, on at least on some level, like the Chiefs are returning almost all their starters and they, you know, they add a stud running back. I know they've had some departures because of opt-out, but it does feel like the two most talented teams with two young stud quarterbacks are the Niners and the Chiefs, and they have great, great play callers. That's not going to change. But it's talent, it's cohesion, and they don't have to reinvent themselves. I kind of feel like if there's ever going to be a repeat of the Super Bowl, this will be the year.
That's fair. Yeah, I think the NFL's just the way it's set up with free agency and all the turnover and, you know, especially usually, and the Chiefs are kind of a unique example because usually when you win a Super Bowl like this, your players that are playing their last year of the deal, those guys will go get to another squad and just break the bank and get paid. So, you know, to keep a group together like that, you know, really, I can't think of a time in the last handful of years where it's kind of been like that. So, yeah, I mean, I can see the Chiefs making a run at it. I mean, as long as, you know, Mahomes stays healthy and he's pulling the trigger, I mean, you got to say that they're the favorite, obviously, to start the year, plus with everything they have coming back. But And kind of the same thing with San Fran. So, but they're just, you know, the league is crazy. I mean, and Coach O'Brien, when I was in Houston, said all the time, and I never really understood why, I mean, you know, for a while. But, you know, the NFL is set up to be an 8-8 league, and they do that, you know, obviously salary cap, you know, free agency and all those things. And these teams that are able to find a way to make it work within those parameters, you know, give a chance. But like I said earlier, I mean, you know, keeping guys intact after a big year, especially winning the Super Bowl, is hard to do if you're a front office. And Kansas City's been able to do it. And in my opinion, they got a pretty good chance to make a run at the whole deal.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Brandon Whedon, who's joining us from the great state of Oklahoma. Big 12 teams are going to play. If you were in college, would you play?
Absolutely. You know, I just was having lunch. I had the conversation with this guy, and he asked the same question. I said, man, kind of like Coach Saban said, you know, I think he hit the nail on the head. I think these players in particular are safer within the confines of the athletic department, with, you know, with the trainers and the doctors and all that, as far as their resources and stuff like that. So if, God forbid, something, you know, there were a little bit of a spike within a team, they've got the resources on hand to get help. So I think they're safer on campus than they are if they were to cancel everything and send them on home. So, yeah, man, I mean, I know it's been a crazy year and there's been some crazy, you know, circumstances, but, you know, I think most of these big schools, especially ACC, SEC, I mean, all Power 5 schools, in my opinion, have the resources to control it. I really feel that way. I mean, I may ruffle some feathers there, but I think ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC are doing the right thing. Give it a shot. You know, go play football. That's what they want to do. That's what the players want to do. Obviously, it's what the coaches want to do. Hell yeah, let's play football. Give it a shot. If it doesn't work, you know, you can always back it up. But people think you can go play in the spring and play 20 some odd games in a 9-month stretch. To me, that's crazy, because if you're worried about player safety, you're worried about the health of these kids. I mean, that's just, in my opinion, nonsense. That's too much. That's too much harm on a, I don't care if they're 18, 21, 22 year old kids. That's a lot of harm on their body. So I think they need to play this fall. Give it a shot, see what they can do.
Yeah. Okay, how does it change? Like, I've been told that Oklahoma State, and I know Texas Tech released this as well, they're going to do 25% of the fans, no tailgating, right? I'm not sure I would go to, I mean, I don't know, I mean, you might go to one game to see it in person, but I don't know if I'd want to be one of the 25% of fans. I mean, I guess you could sit wherever you want kind of thing, but the whole idea is this, to be in a great crowd. I don't know, that's a weird thought. But how does it change the game in college football, for example, I mean, like, look, I remember when you played in college, you guys went to A&M. That was as good an atmosphere as you're ever going to find. Didn't stop you from whooping their ass and Ryan Tannehill, right? You know, how much does it actually change the game if there aren't the home field advantages?
I mean, I think you referred to, like, the little deal they sent out to put on Twitter or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to affect it. I think there's still going to be visiting fans. I saw where Oklahoma State's kind of trying to figure out a way to block out that northeast side of the stadium there that the visiting fans usually sit in. I mean, it's just going to be a unique dynamic. I mean, 25,000 fans or 25% of whatever, it wouldn't be 25,000 in Stillwater, but, you know, 25% of fans is better than no fans from a player's perspective and from an advantage perspective. I said a couple weeks ago when we were talking, I mean, I think it'd be awkward to throw a touchdown, catch a touchdown, get a sack, and celebrate. I guess you celebrate the team, but at the same time, to not hear any roars. You know, that, I just think that'd be weird. But if they can find a way to get fans in the stands, there's still a little bit of an advantage. I mean, maybe not so much if you have 100,000, you know, and you got to walk into a place like Kyle Field or, you know, Norman or at OU or something. But I still think it's an advantage for that home team. I just think it's going to get sticky when you start talking about the club seats and the suite tickets and stuff like that. I mean, that's going to be a big hurdle for them to get over. But I mean, ultimately, if they can get fans, I mean, there's a little bit more of an advantage per se than maybe having no fans at all.
There's this report that Joe Montana said that Tom Brady, one of the things he was upset about was his amount of input he had on the offensive side of the football in New England. I was operating under the assumption that he and Josh McDaniels worked really, really well together. On the other hand, like, look, who am I to question Joe Montana? Northern California guys, I'm sure there's a relationship there. What are your thoughts on Brady and whether or not he had enough offensive input in New England?
That kind of caught me off guard. I didn't realize that. I thought they worked pretty well together. I mean, obviously, you saw some tension there here and there, but that's just the way he's wired, and that's the way McDaniels is wired. But, I was under the assumption that he was just as involved in game planning, but, I mean, as far as, you know, what he likes and what he doesn't like going in each game, he kind of had a lot of say on, you know, what he's calling, you know, especially in critical situations. I mean, if I've been in the league for 20 years and I've been in the same offense for all 20 years, I'd be a little heated too if I don't have a little say in, you know, on what's getting called. I mean, he's the one back there taking the shots in the chin and letting it rip and staring down the barrel. So, I mean, in my opinion, he should be given that right to kind of pick and choose what he wants to play and what he wants to throw. I mean, that seems like common sense. But I didn't realize there was any ill will there, but that does surprise me. I thought it was all pretty good up there.
Yeah, it surprises me as well. I take it you watched the PGA this past weekend, correct?
I caught a little bit. I was at the lake, so I didn't catch as much as normal. I did see the back nine on Sunday, which was really good golf.
Yeah, I mean, he was so good.
Morikawa was, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. He's a young talent. He's steady. I think he's only missed one cut in his entire PGA career, which is, what, 25, 26 starts. But he doesn't look like he misses a beat. He's going to win. He's already made like $6.5 million in a short amount of time.
He's awesome, but I mean, I do on some level grow tired of the, oh, this is the next. Look, Spieth was awesome until he wasn't. And Rory was amazing until he wasn't. And, like, we all both love Ricky. He's only won the Players. I respect how incredibly hard it is, you know, even for Brooks, as good as Brooks was, and then to play that poorly on a Sunday was surprising. But it does point out the consistency of Tiger Woods and how amazing he was. And, I agree. I don't know enough about golf to make a bold, definitive statement. And as good as he was and as talented as he is and as respected as he is, he feels like he'll be a player atop leaderboards. But, man, I've heard this stuff so many times in the last decade.
That's true, I agree. But, I mean, I think a lot of people are trying to compare him to the next kind of young gun, you know, him, Matthew Wolf, yep. Victor Hovland, stuff like that, which those guys are going to be incredible as well. But, I mean, again, I'm with you. I mean, Jordan Spieth was on top of the world in 2015, 2016, and the guy can barely make a cut now, so you never know.
It's a hard game, man. It really is. I told my son the other day, we played 18 holes of golf, and he was like, Dad, you're terrible today. He's got to give me the business. He's like, man, this is a hard game. It will eat you up. B, thanks so much for joining us. Glad you had some time at the lake. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
That's Brandon Whedon, former quarterback, Cowboys, Browns, Houston Texans, Oklahoma State Cowboys. All right, coming up next. The number one team I wish was on Hard Knocks. I'll tell you that next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. This is Game Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Byer, what do you got?
Doug, the game today is...
I feel a draft.
It was going to be guess the percentage my computer is at during its update. If you guys
seven.
That was 40 minutes ago. That was 40 minutes ago. John Ramos, you want to take a guess?
I say it's at 21.
Okay, Ryan Music?
I will say 29.
Okay, 58%. Whoa,
okay.
We're up to 61%.
Right,
it's only been an hour and 5 minutes. All right, Doug. The ratings for Hard Knocks on HBO's premiere on Tuesday with the Rams and Chargers was down 61% from last year's premiere episode, which featured the then Oakland Raiders. Today we're going to rank.
Knock on wood, you're with me.
That's right. That's right. We're going to draft which NFL teams you really wanted to see on Hard Knocks this season. Rams and Chargers can be included in this draft.
We're on the Cincinnati.
Ramos, you get number one. Doug gets number two. Ryan, three. And then I get the swing.
Why does Ramos always get number one?
I could trade it, couldn't I?
Yes, you could.
Doug, you know what? I'm going to trade it to you. I'll give you number one. I'll take the number two pick. How about that?
John, he has to accept the trade. You can't just give it to him.
There's no trade. You're just going to give me the number one pick?
Okay. Well, I'll go to number. I'll drop the two, and I would like to give you the number one pick. How's that?
Why? What's your ulterior motive, John?
Because I have three teams, and I think...
You've actually done a lot of homework here.
Right, okay.
Sure, what the hell, I'll accept.
Are you guys swapping second rounders as well, just so I can keep track?
No, I'll stick where I'm at.
All right. So Doug got the better end of this.
That actually did not make any... Yeah. That did not make a single amount of sense.
You know, Doug, I have the number one overall pick, and I want to give it to you, and I want nothing in return.
Even though it's a snake draft, and your second number two pick is actually a pick ahead of mine, I don't want to make that adjustment.
So just to clarify, updated draft order, Doug 1, Bill O'Brien 2, Ryan 3, and then me 4. So there it is.
All right.
Here we go.
Team I most want to see on Hard Knocks. The Green Bay Packers.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to see that that interaction between Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, and the coaching staff.
Hey, John, can I just have the second pick?
All right.
I go, John, you got three teams to pick from.
It may have been a bad one because none of those was, I was not, Green Bay was not one of those picks. So.
Doesn't make your pick a bad pick.
No.
But, I mean, it's going to be a bad pick.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right.
I want to see.
No biscuit, no biscuit.
Brand new Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, how they fit in. What's that whole deal about? I'd love to see the Bucs. Number two.
All right, Ryan Music, you're up at number three.
Yeah, this is tough. I have several options that I was looking at, but I am going to go with America's team. Let's go with the Dallas Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
How this whole offseason's going to go, you know, Dak on his franchise tag? I'll take the Cowboys.
After today's news, I am definitely taking the Seahawks. I would have loved to see how this whole story went down. Other than that, you know, maybe you'd have a Jamal Adams storyline. But, I would have loved to have seen how this would have played out on HBO. And then to Doug's point at the beginning, I'd love to see what the Patriots are doing. What is life like without Tom Brady? Right. So I will take the Patriots with my first pick of the second round. Ryan Music, you are on the clock.
I don't want to reveal that much. Go ahead.
I am going to go with... You know, I'm going to go with the team that got so close last year, and there's been some drama as to whether or not they were going to move on from their star quarterback. I'll go with the 49ers, sort of see how that offseason would play out with Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan.
All right. Then Doug is up after the teams failed to swap second-round picks.
Yeah. Failed to come to terms. That team's fun. That team's fun. These are two very dysfunctional teams I have a chance to choose between. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Cleveland Browns.
All right, John. Were one of your three left remaining? Any?
No, they're gone. It was the Cowboys and the Patriots were the other two. So, you know what? Let's take a chance and let's go with the number one pick in the draft. See how he goes through his first season with the Bengals. I'll take the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Mm. See how that works out. There you go.
All right, you got another pick.
Oh, I have another pick?
Yeah. We ended it after two rounds. Oh, yeah, we don't have enough time.
I mean, like, but I feel like we missed several teams that would be more interesting than the Chargers and the Rams.
Who could you sign as a free agent? That's what it would be.
Yeah, as a free agent team?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Jets would be fun with the Gase, with the Gase interaction with Sam Darnold.
I wrote them down as well.
Yeah, they'd be fun. And the Steelers, you know, I want to see what Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that was on my list. Yeah. Just barely missed out. Very interested to see how he looks.
And that's game time.
1 minute. That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot there with the Chargers and the Rams. There just wasn't a ton. I mean, Anthony Lynn had COVID-19, that was about the big takeaway. I mean, feels like the protocols are pretty strong, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how anybody could watch that and go like, yeah, I put myself in grave danger by going in there as opposed to living my life normally. You know, I get what they have learned is possible if you do get it, but how are you going to know you have it or are carrying it if you don't get tested? And, oh, yeah, by the way, like, as I've said, are you locking down? Are you going on quarantine? Not even isolation. You're going on quarantine when you're at home. Bruce Feldman joins the show next. Will the Big Ten play spring football? We'll get to that in the Doug Gottlieb Show.